He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday. Happy Monday to everyone. Monday, September 15th here on the docket for you. Good to have you. Good to be here on what should be a very fun but abbreviated show. Yeah, that's right. We only have the hour here today before we send it off to Houston for the Texans and the Buccaneers on Monday night. A doubleheader. That's right. A true Monday night doubleheader here on the ESPN Fresno networks. Coming up on 1430, right at 4 o'clock. Like I said, we have Texans and Buccaneers. Then you will switch over to 790 for the Raiders and the Chargers. The Raider-centric broadcast over there on 790. Pregame starting at 6:30 and kickoff starting at 7 o'clock. It's a major wager Monday night as well. We'll be bringing you all that great stuff. A reminder, if you're going over to me and Ed's Victory Grill today, major wager, 7 o'clock tonight, we will be doing the Raiders and Chargers game. So if you're there a little early for Texans, Buccaneers, we won't quite be there yet. You want to go watch it, though? Go ahead. Watch it at me and Ed's Victory Grill. Hang out. Enjoy the game, and then we will be there for all the fun and games we do at Major Wager at me and Ed's Victory Grill with the Raiders and the Chargers from Las Vegas. Can't wait for that. Good to be here. Good to be alongside everybody. Can't wait to get this show started here on 1430. Big thanks to Tony D. Tony D, who tossed it to us from the previous hour. Tony D, of course, the Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays, and you can listen to him live and on demand on the 1430 app, the ESPN Fresno app, and the 1430ESPNFresno.com website, where you find us as well. So be sure to check out that show. If you missed Paul Metter's show over on Saturday, the Central Valley Sports Report, you can listen to that live and on demand from 10 a.m. to noon. From First String Sports, and you can listen to my show, which is usually from 3 to 6 p.m. here on 1430 as well. So, like I said, 3 to 4 o'clock today. Let's go through some sponsors real quick. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing has the Lee's Air Hotline. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show, 559-320-1430. The way to reach the show. We have 93 degrees currently as our temperature on the Lee's Air weather check, going up to 95 degrees today as our high. We'll be touching those high 90s Tuesday and Wednesday tomorrow. Then things will get relatively cooler, and we may even see, I'm not declaring it, I'm not a weather guy, but potential rain in the forecast. We'll see potential rain potentially on Friday. Keep that in mind, folks. I'm not exactly sure where that will be. I'm scanning it here. Might be more in the a.m. Hours, potentially. It'll be cloudy Thursday, so just keep that in mind, folks, in terms of it. Weather is volatile here in the Central Valley, but good to be here. Good to get this show going. What we're going to talk about, of course, Fresno State, big win over Southern. What went right? What did we like? What are we looking to see different from the Bulldogs as we start conference play this week against Hawaii? Get your thoughts as well. 559-320-1430. We'll do Who's Bonatti, Who's Been Nice from this past weekend. Get into the daily spread as well and get you set for the Monday night doubleheader, which is coming up, like I said, at 4 o'clock, right at the top of that hour there for you. So get you set for Bucks, Texans, make the picks. Raiders, Chargers, make the picks as well. Good to be here and good to be alongside my producer for this next hour here, and hardest working man in showbiz right now here in the Central Valley. Jorge's just been running around doing all kinds of big and crazy things, and we got him here as well. Jorge, how was your weekend, my friend?
Hey, good afternoon. There you go. Phil.
I tried to give you as much leeway to get you there to your mic.
Yeah, I got to get all these buttons ready, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was full of sports. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was watching three things at once on Saturday night.
Locked in. Saturday night was a busy one for you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely it was.
You were locked in on the boxing. You were locked in on the Fresno State football game, I'm sure, and maybe some other football around. Soccer as well.
Some soccer.
Yeah.
Some Mexican League, Liga Mix.
What was your big takeaway from the weekend? Any big Betty? You got a little boxing thoughts from the Canelo?
My God, fight? Crawford is the man. Crawford is the guy. I love Canelo. I always followed. I followed him since, you know, years ago, almost a decade ago, probably more. But he couldn't. He just couldn't handle what Crawford brought in.
Yeah,
it was definitely a fight the boxers would have loved.
Yeah, was it a good? So it was a good fight.
It was a good fight.
Yeah,
both were going at it. Both were going, you know, trying to win this fight. It became a battle of who's the better boxer, not just hitter, not just puncher, not just defender. Who's the better boxer? And the better boxer ended up being Crawford.
Wow. I've seen a lot of people talking about it as far. Was that just a shocking result? Shocking result?
A little bit, yeah, because the favorite was Canelo. However, and I think it's more shocking just because Crawford went to weight divisions above his original one to fight Canelo.
Yeah.
And he didn't ask for no catch weight. He didn't ask for anything. He just went out there and, you know, went out as a better boxer.
Well, one of the many great things about the sports weekend is everybody got a chance to watch whatever they needed to in terms of their consumption of sports. Clearly, the boxing was a big story this weekend. And, of course, from an unexpected result to, I would say, an expected result from this Saturday this weekend was the Fresno State Bulldogs. And Bulldogs took care of business, beating Southern University. Felt like we knew the win was coming. It was just a matter of how it looked. And I would say, from my perspective, I was at the game, watched all 60 minutes. Yeah, that's right, 60 minutes of football. And I felt like the Bulldogs, for the most part, took care of business in what departments they needed to take care of business in. They needed to show life in the passing game. They showed life in the defensive side of things, even in the special teams, blocked field goal. We like that in terms of it. And so just looking at everything in terms of it, I think the Bulldogs obviously played the complete game they needed to against a team like that. By the way, I was the only person courageous to say we would go above 50 in the media. I'm shouting it out. Phil Stradamus strikes again. I was 4 points off from the final score prediction. You can go to Barkboard, check it out. I had 52-7. I thought we'd tack on a field goal with 7 touchdowns. Ended up getting 8. So 56-7. Am I allowed to boast about that? 4 points off from the final score? Am I allowed to? I think definitely the closest out of anybody who made the predictions over the weekend. So Bulldogs get it done. I liked a lot. I liked that E.J. Warner got involved in the top end of it. By the way, we finally completed a pass down the field, 20-plus yards. That was my little nitpick this whole non-conference schedule. That was a touchdown pass. I believe it was to the tight end. I think it was Richie Anderson, I want to say. That was his 4th touchdown. I did, by the way, I was walking around the media throughout the whole game, pregame, and I was saying, all right, over under 3.5 touchdown passes for E.J. Warner. You got that or not? Over-under was the line, though, because he ended up with 4. So a lot of people did pick the over there. Some picked the under because they thought we'd see some Conklin. We did see some Carson Conklin. We saw a lot of players get involved. I think 4. Paul Effler said this in the press conference today. Paul, 4 different players getting first career touchdowns in their Bulldog debut as well. So that was exciting, to say the least. Overall, feel great about the team. Needed to do what they needed to do. I'll have my nitpicks maybe later in the segment. But, Jorge, what would you say? How would you summarize your feelings of the Bulldogs on Saturday as they beat Southern 56-7?
I saw, you know, a team that was ready to play from the beginning. I saw the first half. complete first half. Came out looking good, and you know they were ready. They were at home. They felt good. They looked good. Everything was on their side to just play the way they wanted to play. I think Southern wasn't, you know, the toughest of the opponent, but mm-hmm. but they did have some pretty good players on their end, and that showed that the Bulldogs are ready to play anyone.
Yeah, it was interesting game script, right? Because obviously the Bulldogs jump out 21-0 that lead, and then suddenly something weird happens in that second quarter. The Southern Jaguars put in a new quarterback, and that new quarterback then ended up going down the field and scoring a touchdown in that touchdown drive. So you sit there 21-7. You're like, oh, what's happening here with the team? And by the way, in that drive, here's my nitpick with the defense a little bit. I thought maybe some tough angles were taken by the defensive side, especially in containing on third down. There were some third and longs that the defense should just let definitely have not given up. And I would say maybe a caliber of opponent that is higher than Southern would take advantage of those opportunities even more. So that's can be frustrating on a defensive unit. Obviously, the Bulldogs responded because the very next play on offense, Bryson Donaldson goes down the sideline and scores the touchdown to go up 28-7, and then the Bulldogs end up responding with the blocked field goal after that. That sequence, I know it may have been the rougher stretch of it for the Bulldogs, but at least the resolve was there, and then the Bulldogs take care of business at the end of the half, score a touchdown, make it 35-7, cash in that way. And they're starting to cash in a lot more in these opportunities. The red zone cashing in terms of it. I think I saw 11 for 17 in touchdown rate in the red zone right now, 15 of 17 right now in scoring rate in the red zone. I think that's right where you need it to be in terms of it. The only two times we didn't have it was that fumble that we lost in the Southern game. I think that's another rough spot. There's two fumbles now in the red area that we've had in two home games, so I wouldn't say that's where Coach Edz would like to have it. But in terms of building, what you need to see, sometimes visualizing success is a big part of football, a big part of sports. You need to see things succeed for you to believe it can succeed moving forward, and I think the Bulldogs had that opportunity against Southern this weekend. They executed when they needed to. Seeing these plays be able to work in front of them means something and matters moving forward when you're playing in a tough environment like the islands of Hawaii this Saturday or like Fort Collins on a Friday night in a short week in about a month from now or at Boise State on the blue turf in about a month and a half from now. Next three road games are absolutely killer for the Bulldogs in terms of it. So looking forward to what will be coming from this game in terms of the visualization of success. Nice to see the passing game get involved. But for the most part, you did what you needed to do. Now go do what you want to do, which is go beat this Hawaii team.
No, they have Hawaii and then they have a bye, right?
Hawaii, bye, Nevada, Colorado State, bye. That's the next 5 weeks for the Bulldogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that, you know, they're going to have if they go out of Hawaii, which is a tough test, and ended up winning that game, they're going to be 4-0 or 4-1.
Yeah.
And going into the first bye. That's good momentum that they're going to have.
Good momentum.
I don't know if the bye comes in at the right time or wrong time, but
you hate when buys come up. But I feel like coaches don't mind the buys because the health and the situation right now. The only health issue right now it seems to be is Josiah Freeman's health in terms of his injury situation. Coach Entz didn't really dive into specifics of what Josiah Freeman was seeing in terms of it. He mentioned in the post game on Saturday that Freeman was dealing with something wide receiver wise, and he'll have to just kind of evaluate it from there. But Entz didn't feel comfortable enough for him to be in the game. Didn't feel like it was worth it to have him in the game. And by the way, nice play from the second unit in it because Harold Duvall, how about that guy getting involved in the first touchdown of the game? How about that for his first career touchdown was that first catch in the end zone? Or, hey, we were calling his number in our Friday Night Lights last year for Clovis East.
That's right.
So yes. How about that one for you? So that was awesome to see. And good to see that the depth is really yielding a whole lot I mean, I'm telling you, the depth of the running game. Jorge, we ran 41 rushes, 41 run plays in that game on Saturday. How about 30 more passes? How about 71 offensive plays in a game? That'll win you 100%. I guarantee if you run 70 plays in a football game, you're going to win a football game unless your name is the New York Giants. So other than that, that is a 100% success rate in my mind.
No, it's good. It's good to see that they got the running game going, which would helps 1,000% the throwing game, because it did wonders for EJ on throwing those touchdowns, you know, help him out a lot, and mm-hmm. and his vision, which I questioned in games before, was better.
Yeah.
Was better this time around.
Yeah. By the way, for the record, the Giants did not run 70 plays. They were in 65. So I'm still correct. I'm still correct in my assessment. So we'll go into that game in a little bit. Overall, I would assess that game as an A performance. That's exactly what you do. That's exactly what you do. You executed. You didn't, you didn't lay down in certain situations, and when adversity presented to you, by the way, the fans who are like, you shouldn't even give up a touchdown to that team. You are going against a quarterback that you have never scouted before or seen before, because there's literally no tape against him, and you just have to react on the field. Let me tell you, that is as tough as it can be. And that guy was physical, and that guy really, he had some skill sets, man. There's a reason he's playing college football. So
this is the backup quarterback.
Quarterback that mm-hmm. came in at 15. Trying to think of the other big plays in that game. You know, Rashawn Luke, man, I've said he's going to be a star at this team for the last couple of years now, or last couple of weeks now, and he continues to validate it. I do believe he has the most touchdowns in FBS right now. I think that's correct. He's got like 6 right now, and he leads all of college football in that, to be fair. Not even to be fair, man. He didn't score in that first game, right? It was who was it? Who was it that scored the first game? Was it Brandon Ramirez?
The first game? No, I think he did
Kansas.
Score.
Kansas. Who scored in that first Kansas game?
I think it was him. Number 2.
Hold on. Let me I got the stats in front of me as far as that's concerned. I wonder if I have the
individual. I know Ramirez scored in the second game.
If I momentarily just look through the game scripts here, it does have the scoring summaries for all 4 games. And looking at it, it was Gilliam. Gilliam scored in the first touchdown run against Kansas.
Okay.
So, yeah, Rashawn Luke, through 3 games, currently has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 touchdowns through 3 games in a 3-game span. So, I don't know what you're I don't know what you're feeling, but man, that guy is going to be a star. He's super humble, man. He is a diabolical piece to have in your offensive side. He was the leading receiver, by the way, on Saturday. 7 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown. The man is a different kind of player, and the Bulldogs haven't had that in quite some time. I'm trying to think. Like, I think of Isaiah Burst when he was kind of doing some stuff back in 2012, 2013, when he was kind of that weapon. That's the last time I remember a guy like this in terms of his capabilities. And Burst, you know, got a shot at the NFL, and certainly Rashawn Luke could be that guy. And I look forward to it moving forward. But he was a stud last on Saturday. Everybody was a stud on Saturday, and they got to build the momentum. By the way, Bulldogs confirmed they're going to be flying out Thursday to go to Hawaii. So after practice Thursday, they're flying out to Hawaii. Friday, they're going to spend a whole day in Hawaii practicing. Sounds like they're going to visit Pearl Harbor. They're not going to be able to go to the memorial. I guess it's closed, but they're going to be able to go everywhere else around the memorial. And then they'll play the game Saturday night at 6 p.m. local time, local Hawaii.
It's always a weird trip there.
Yeah.
Like the Bulldogs don't do well in Hawaii.
Well, I heard through the grapevine the last time the Bulldogs went to Hawaii was in 2021, right? And they didn't arrive till way later than they wanted to in terms of plane stuff. So they're not taking any chances this year.
Well, it was also like COVID things and everything was happening. But, I mean, historically, going to Hawaii has been tough. Even when you don't face Hawaii, you know, in those bowl games where you know, Derek Carr lost, and I think David Carr lost one, two in there.
No, but, Derek got close in 2013. That one got really close.
Yeah.
I remember because it was all just like, what's going on, what's going on? I'm just trying to update the game cast because there was not on TV anywhere. By the way, I heard rumor. Sounds like the game is going to be on Mountain West Network locally here. And I'll update the people if I hear anything differently, but that sounds like the only avenue you can watch this game. So don't go crazy at me of like what channel it's on.
Historically, Channel 24, Casey has.
I'm not going to put it on them if they don't broadcast the game because I don't want to put any expectations on
it. They don't usually tell you till probably the day before.
Well, we're going to get a release from Fresno State here in the next day or two about the TV side of things because it's the weird Spectrum thing. And Spectrum is so strange because if you're a Dodger fan, you know exactly the BS that Spectrum puts you through in terms of it. Or if you're a Laker fan, you know exactly the BS Spectrum puts you through in order to watch your games. That's so, crazy. Yeah, it's insane. But anyways, I do have on good authority. Mountain West Network is probably the best way to watch the game. Mountain West Network is a free service on the Mountain West website. So there you go. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk who's been naughty, who's been nice, continue this hour here on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. We're continuing this one and only hour of my show here today before we send it off to Monday Night Football. We know, I believe Kurt Warner's on the call for this Houston one, this Houston game. Our new favorite Bulldog fan, Kurt Warner.
Yes, he's for Monday Night Football. He's one of the commentators.
Yeah, he's calling the game with Kevin Harlan. So Harlan and Kurt Warner tonight, if you want to listen to new famous Bulldog fan Kurt Warner on the airwaves tonight.
Was he at the stadium?
He was. I saw pictures. Okay. He was taking pictures of kids over by the helicopter that was there.
Yeah. By the football.
Yeah.
Soccer lacrosse stadium.
Yeah, they were doing some flag football stuff out there before the game. That was pretty cool.
Nice.
So, there you go. All right, who's been naughty? Who's been nice? I got three on each side here. Jorge, what do you want to start with in terms of this week of football?
Let's go with who's been naughty.
Who's been naughty? All right. And this is stemming from Friday night. I'm putting UCLA in my who's been naughty, losing 35-10 to New Mexico at home in the Rose Bowl, putting UCLA at 0-3 on the year. And of course, the news brought to you by Valley Pure is that UCLA has dismissed Deshaun Foster as the head coach of the Bruins. And guess who is the interim coach for the UCLA Bruins? Yes, you guessed it. Interim coach from the Fresno State Bulldogs a year ago, Tim Skipper. Good to get Skip another shot at this one. Fascinating developments in Tim Skipper's career. But UCLA just stinks. I said that they're the worst. I think they're the worst team in college football. I don't think they're going to win a single game. And maybe Skip provides a little bit of spark in terms of it. And now I think Fresno fans are maybe rooting a little bit for UCLA. But man, it has been rough.
I don't know if they're the worst team in college football. I think they're the worst group of five team. You know, I didn't know Skipper was with the
He was UCLA. An assistant. I think that was secret, like kind of like one of those sneaky news items that kind of slipped past everybody.
Probably
in terms of it. But
I probably saw it somewhere, and I was like, oh
yeah. Okay, Jorge, tell me UCLA. Is there a win or two in this rest of the schedule? At Northwestern,
no.
Home Penn State,
no.
At Michigan State,
no.
Home Maryland.
They are a home. Maryland, oh man, probably not.
Home or at Indiana,
no.
Home Nebraska,
no.
At Ohio State,
no.
Home Washington.
Wait, Washington?
The Huskies.
Oh, Huskies. Maybe.
At USC.
Definitely not.
Jorge, that's an 0-1 whatever record you just spelled out to me.
They might get a chance to win one.
You think they could beat Washington?
Maybe.
That's your only maybe? Or Maryland. You balked on Maryland a little bit.
I think Maryland will probably be more because they are going to be at home.
Who has Maryland played this year? Maryland is 3-0, Jorge. They beat Florida Atlantic, they beat Northern Illinois, and they've beaten Towson. All by double digits. So
they have really good talent in UCLA.
Can they beat Michigan State? Really good talent. Can they?
I think there has been something missing, especially with the coach that left. I think there was a disconnection there with the team, the players. A lot of things was happening behind the background. I don't think what was the name of the coach?
Deshaun Foster.
Deshaun Foster was ready for this team.
Yeah,
I honestly don't think so. He didn't. What he said when his first press conference was like, "Yeah, UCLA is in LA or something like that." It was a very weird thing. I don't think he was ready for it at all.
Yeah.
But
do we have the sound? I don't know if I have the sound still from his opening presser. He's like, "Yeah, we're from LA. We have another college here, USC. You're familiar?" And then it was just kind of puttered out of.
Yeah, and that was weird because do you know where you are? Yeah. I mean, this is UCLA. You got to know this is a big-time team. I mean.
Exactly.
The reason why they left the Pac-12 was because they wanted to be bigger than what they were.
Right.
And this is not happening.
I'll say this. This is a full-blown turnaround for me because I was kind of rooting for UCLA to be the worst team in the nation because I made that proclamation after 3 weeks. But I do want to root for Skipper. And I do want Skipper to have an opportunity. I think we all do. And I know Fresno State fans have a mixed feeling for Tim Skipper, and we'll see what it looks like from there. But now I think UCLA is an interesting team to follow and see if they can muster a win or two. We'll see. I don't know. Penn State's been really weird. I'll just say that. Penn State's been kind of messy. I'm not saying there's a win there, but on the West Coast, stranger things happen. I don't know. I'll just say that. Been ready for a benice. I'll give the props. How about Mac Jones? No, three touchdowns, no interceptions. He did have that weird fumble because it was just classic Mac Jones play. But he put the Niners in a position to win. He made the opportunities, the most of them, in their win over New Orleans. I give props to Mac Jones for playing decent football as a backup. And maybe there's a gut feeling that Kyle can have this team somewhat moving in the right direction with him as the backup quarterback. It was not as nearly the disaster as I thought it would be. There were a couple of Mac-isms there, but for the most part, I wouldn't say the most comfortable win against New Orleans, he put him in a position to score points and made it happen. So Mac Jones is on my benice list.
Yeah, I think he did well. I saw the touchdown he threw to McCaffrey, that was a really tough throw.
Yeah, it was a good one.
That was a throw that you're like, why isn't he playing in another team like a starter? You know, yes, then I saw a couple plays where I'm like, okay, that's why. But definitely he had a good game. Defense had a good game. The offensive line for the Niners helped him out a lot. I think he had a lot of time to throw. Maybe it was because they weren't being rushed by the Saints, or maybe they just had a good game, but whatever it was, he did what he had to do and took the very injured Niners team to a win.
The Saints aren't a disaster, as I may have predicted. They fight. They fight hard in these games. I'll say that. I think there's a little more fight in the Saints than maybe another team I'm about to say. In terms of who's Benatti. So why don't we give the props to the Niners getting to 2-0, winning two road games, and now you are on your way to a home opener against the Cardinals, and which should be a massive game on Sunday. So good on the Niners. They took care of business and Mac Jones handled it. Here's another Benatti. Why don't I go to the Bears? That is my no-show team of the week, Jorge. That is a team that did not want to play football this weekend, and the Lions made it clear and evident in that way. I reap the benefits because Amon-Ra St. Brown is on my fantasy team in multiple leagues. I'll take it. How about 40 burger for him? Near 40 burger for him on the afternoon. you could blame it all on you want on Caleb Williams and what he did. Man, that defense is horrific. And now they just lost Jalen Johnson, our central high grad, who's out indefinitely with an injury, according to Adam Schefter. And so the Bears are in a deep dive of pain and despair. They're 0-2 in the division, and I don't see any end in sight. They might be the worst team in football.
Yeah, it feels like they're entitled. They're entitled players who feel like they deserve better than what they
bring
have.
Bring that up to Nico in the office. Bring that up. I dare you.
Well, that's the feeling they give me. Like,
they're supposed to arrive this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, maybe it's because everybody said that this was the year. You know, Caleb Williams isn't a rookie anymore.
Yeah.
He's coming into himself. The coaches are better. Where are they?
Yeah.
What are they doing? I mean, I don't know.
Bears, man. Bears are rough. The Bears are rough. You could point to other teams that maybe no-showed. The Bills are good. The Bills are a good football team. And the Jets, I don't know what legitimate plan they have. You can say the Browns, but the Browns have been there for 25 years. I don't know what to tell you. The Bears, man, they try so hard, and all they get is that. 52 dropped on them on the road, and now they're 0-2 in the division. I would basically say they're done. I cancel them. I'm out. I think the Bears are done. They're not making the playoffs. I'll declare it right now. In my Benice list, I'm giving it to Antonio Gibson of the Patriots. Did you see this play, Jorge? Did you see this play where the Patriots returned a kick after they gave up a punt return? They give up a kick, and Antonio Gibson goes and returns it right back for a rebuttal. And my favorite part of the play that I saw in that game was Mike Vrabel running as slow as he possibly could humanly do in terms of his sprint speed. He was trying to play catch up. One of the most phenomenal sports photos from the weekend was Mike Vrabel running alongside Antonio Gibson in that game. I don't know if you got a chance to see that play, but it's one of my favorite plays of the year so far for the Patriots. There's not many. I didn't feel great about the win, but at least I had that moment. And I'm giving Antonio Gibson and Mike Vrabel my next Benice.
Yeah, I saw it, but definitely, you know, I saw a couple highlights of that game, and I felt like anybody wanted to lose the game. I don't know. It felt weird. Like, I don't know. It didn't feel like there was somebody who was like, yes, let's win this game, but everybody was like, all right, well, I guess we're going to win it.
I'll show the photo, but it has a bad word on it. So I'm trying to block the bad word on the video here. I think I'm doing it. Am I doing it?
Yeah, you can't see that.
Okay.
You can't see that.
There you go. But it has a bad word in it.
Yeah,
the bad word is Antonio Gibson is running. He's the relaxing Sunday, Jorge. And on Mike Vrabel, it says the effing unfolded laundry. Let me tell you, my laundry is still unfolded. I need to get take care of that after Major Wager tonight. All right, my final Benatti goes to Caleb Johnson of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jorge, are you aware of this play in the Seattle-Pittsburgh game yesterday where Caleb Johnson lets a ball get by him on the kickoff? It lands in the landing zone, and he doesn't go and pick it up, and it touches him, and he lets the ball go to the end zone thinking it'll just be a touchback, but it's not because of the new rule, and the Seattle Seahawks recover it for a touchdown and ride comfortably to a 14-point win. One of the worst football plays we've seen this year. Know the rules. Understand the rules. Caleb Johnson did not, and he gets the land on the Benatti list.
That's what gave him the win, right?
Basically gave Seattle the win.
Seattle had just scored, and Pittsburgh was supposed to come back on that.
They were about to reply. They were about to respond. Let me see. Where was it in the game?
It does touch him, right? Because that was a controversy.
Seattle just kicked a field goal to go 17-14, and then a ball that was tipped off of Caleb Johnson's hands scores right there immediately. The Seahawks score 10 points in 1 second. How about that one? How about that one for you, Jorge?
I did see that. Yep.
So, and then from there, the Steelers needed a field goal, and then Kenneth Walker puts it away for a touchdown. Seattle wins comfortably over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just a mess of a mistake from Pittsburgh.
I feel before that, they were pretty even. They were pretty
going. It was a close game.
It was a close game, yeah.
It was a great game until it wasn't. My final Benice, I actually kind of declared the play on air. I didn't see it yet. But when we were on Friday Night Lights, I was wrapping up the broadcast, and Paul Metters was doing his little plug for a show. And, of course, I had to, poop in his Cheerios and tell him that the Giants just walked it off with a grand slam, Patrick Bailey. And so I'm going to get Patrick Bailey, who's been ice for the weekend, because without that swing, Giants are sitting at a sweep of the Dodgers again and maybe sitting much further out of a playoff possibility. They're 1.5 game out of the Mets. They think there's still a shot for them. They just really got to turn it on here with 13 games to go. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 13 games on the docket. So Patrick Bailey's swing, it could mean a lot. It could maybe not mean a lot for the Giants, but at least it kept them in the hunt, and it was one of the more epic walk-offs since maybe his inside the park home run about a couple months ago.
You said it, and we were watching it here because we were doing the game with Sergio, and when you said
the game
it,
on the-
well, yeah, when you said it, we both looked up, and nothing was happening, and we're like, what is he talking about? All of a sudden, you just hear clack, because you didn't feel like he was going to do it. There wasn't anything happening really in the game. The Giants did have people on base, but I mean, overtime rule, you know, you don't think anything of it. But as soon as he hit it, you knew it was gone.
Crazy.
You heard the bat, and then the way he just threw the bat down, like, there it is, let's go home.
Patrick Bailey, he needs to be the pinch hit, 9th inning, 10th inning guy. I don't know if he can be an everyday starter, but I feel like the Giants should keep him at catcher just for pinch hit, 9th inning, 10th inning heroics, because that guy is Barry Bonds when it comes to hitting in the 9th or 10th inning.
As soon as he crossed the line, they rip his shirt off.
Crazy. Yep. Stuff. Awesome stuff. I think I want to say he is the first catcher to ever have in a single season a walk-off inside the park home run and a walk-off grand slam in the same season. I'm declaring it now.
Probably.
Since he was the first walk-off inside the park home run catcher since 1920, I don't think a guy has had both.
Yeah, probably not.
In a single season. So, Patrick Bailey, Major League Baseball history. All right. That's my Who's Been Naughty, Who's Been Nice. Was a fantastic weekend. Before we get into another break here, I want to tell you about football. We're going to be talking about football here next in the next segment, and that is talking about the Monday night games. You got a big shot to win big here with DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats from breakout rookies to elite QBs and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. How are you feeling tonight? I feel really good on Bucky Irving tonight. Those defensive backs for Texans are going to clamp down a little bit on Tampa Bay. I like the run game to go strong. So a little more on Bucky Irving tonight. Here's the kickoff bonus. The new DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code KFIG. That's code KFIG. Play just $5. Get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Makes the right call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18+. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus award is non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Monday. A Monday night doubleheader. That's right. We don't get many of those here, and it's a true doubleheader. Back-to-back games tonight. That's why we're signing off here soon. We're sending it to Houston here in the next 10 minutes or so. Reminder, before we finish up this show, 1430, we'll have the Texans and the Buccaneers. That's at 4 o'clock. That's going to be coming up pretty soon here. And then once that game wraps up, you want to switch over to 790, listen to Raiders and Chargers. That's going to be over on 790 tonight. So that is your schedule for tonight, the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Tampa Bay at Houston here on 1430. 790 will be home of the Raiders and Chargers game. Then we'll be back to our normally regularly scheduled programming tomorrow. We'll have Sportsline Bulldog with Tony D from 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 6, 3 hours, sending you up to Giants baseball from Arizona last series of the year against the Diamondbacks. Let's talk about the Daily Spread, brought to you by Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino. When you're not trying your luck with your teams, you can try your luck over at Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino. Be sure to swing by. A lot of fun stuff to do over there. Talking about the games tonight. Starting with Tampa Bay and Houston. Houston, lackluster start. The Rams really frustrated them in their game at L.A. Houston will look to bounce back. Didn't really show much offense. I think their defense played very well going up against a top-tier offense in terms of the passing department for Tampa Bay. A lot of Mike Evans, like Agbuka as well. Should be interesting matchup. Texans 2.5-point favorites going into this game after the Buccaneers supposedly struggle against Atlanta, although think a little bit of a higher opinion of Atlanta this year based off of last night's performance. I like Tampa Bay in this game. I don't feel really great about Houston and what they do in terms of it. Jorge, who do you got in tonight's first game of the doubleheader, Tampa Bay and Houston?
I think Tampa Bay looks better, but I feel like Houston is you know, coming in, and I think they want to win. I think they're going to get it.
You think Houston? So you got Houston tonight in terms of it. What's changing your opinion in terms of it? Is anything – are you saying the Rams just really dominated and the Rams won that game more than Houston lost that game? Or is there something that you feel like in the matchup from the Houston versus Buccaneers matchup that will work?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first matchup that they faced, the Texans was a rough one with the Rams, but yeah. I feel like I don't know if the Buccaneers face the same type of team that the Texans did. I feel they're very even teams.
Gonna be a close game tonight.
Yeah,
on the start, and then of course we got another game, and that game is going to be the major wager game of the night tonight. The 7 p.m. kickoff time in Las Vegas. It's Chargers and Raiders. The Raiders 3.5-point underdogs tonight against the Chargers. A lot of people love the Chargers from that game against Kansas City in Brazil. The Chargers, which have, let me see if I can do the math, 10 days removed from the last time they played. The Raiders, 8 days removed from the last they played. So rest versus rust, not really a factor. Both teams are dealing with it. One team goes 2-0 after this game tonight, and firmly grasps control of the AFC West, and especially will be two games up on the Chiefs if they win tonight. Massive one in Vegas. What are your vibes between the Chargers and the Raiders?
I think that if the Raiders could win this game, that they're going to make a statement for the conference, for the division.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I don't know, the Broncos lost yesterday.
They did, in a crazy fashion.
Crazy
leverage.
Way.
We all learned the leverage rule yesterday.
You could take the lead now and never give it away. So it's up to the Raiders, really.
Do you feel long drives, sustained drives in this game? Like teams are going to go 6-minute drives, 7-minute drives, good ball control, run the ball, keep the clock moving. Genty versus that Omarion Hampton, Najee Harris style run game. Although Herbert went crazy in the passing game last week. I mean, Herbert was one of the best quarterbacks of week one, if you look at the performances of it. So I know people say Harbaugh is the ground and pound kind of guy, but that's as big of air in it out as we've seen. Keenan Allen turning back the clock a little bit in terms of it. I think I'm going to be fascinated to see. The Raiders did frustrate the Patriots lost their last game in terms of the pass game. I think their coverage was a lot better in terms of it. They schemed really well. I wonder what kind of fits they'll give the Chargers. I'm fascinated by where this game could go. It could go in a multitude of ways. If I'm going to make a pick, though, I had the Chargers as a team that would make the playoffs. I do feel like the Chargers can get a victory tonight. But my heart tells me I want to pick the Raiders tonight, and I think I'm going to pick the Raiders tonight in terms of a victory. I think they showed me a lot in that New England game, and I think Pete Carroll's got them working a lot more efficiently. Geno Smith making some deep ball throws that I simply wasn't aware that they were there. And so we'll see where it makes of it from there. Brock Bowers needs to play tonight, I think, for that to be a big factor as well, my victory pick. So maybe I'll go under the guys that if Brock Bowers plays tonight, the Raiders are winning this football game. Where are you at, Jorge?
I feel like the Chargers can make a statement. And it just it goes back to coaches who've been playing each other since college football.
Oh, yeah.
Since their college football days. So.
Jorge, you remember the I think it's the 08 Stanford-USC game?
06, yeah. Yeah, 08.
The big, upset from Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Beating USC. No love lost between 07, these two guys.
07?
Yeah.
Might have been 07. But, yeah, they knocked them off of them being number two in the country. Then they went up and, you know, even before that, they were going at it. Stanford beat them in L.A. once in that one magical season they had where they went to the national title. But this is going to be a great game with the fireworks in it.
So tonight you got Texans and Chargers?
Yes.
And I got Bucks and Raiders.
Yeah.
We'll see who does better tonight. Can't wait for it. Jorge, appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Great show.
Texans and Bucks next. We'll see you at Major Wager, 7 o'clock. Raiders and Chargers for Major Wager over at me and Ed's Victory Go. We'll see you over there later. Coming up next, Monday Night Football on 1430 ESPN.